Welcome back into the Badger Extra podcast. My name is Colton Bartholomew, UW football reporter here for Badger Extra and the Wisconsin State Journal. Joined today by Jay Kokorowski, our athletics reporter and the tag team partner here on the Football Beats. Jake, it's been a kind of a more lively week than I maybe would have expected here on transfer season. Everything else that's going on in college football, kind of that murky month of transfers, people deciding if they're going to play bowl games or not. Kind of been a little bit of a maybe more eventful first day of portal land than I expected as we record this around noon on Tuesday.
Right, or the first official day of portal land opening, even though there, you could say there was a, what do you call it in the retail terms, a soft opening weeks prior. But it is a, yeah, it, directly with Wisconsin, it's a, you know, we've seen the impact of the transfer portal, especially on Monday, and especially in a wide receiver room that will be without its captain. And then also, even though there are drops, a key wide receiver at a key position.
Yeah, so we're going to talk about those transfers out that were a little bit surprising that came out on Monday. And then we're going to talk about this Leon Rowery Jr. story, the transfer from Syracuse, the outside linebacker, was committed to the Badgers for, I don't know, what was it, like 18 hours? Less than that?
20 hours.
Yeah. Less than 24. Between 18 and 24. Let's just put it in that range.
Exactly.
Less than the day. So, you know, the story that Jake and I tag teamed on that process and speaking with his agent got quite a bit of reaction. So we're going to talk about that as well. So we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right into that when we get back. All right, Jake, let's jump into the transfers out here for the Badgers. The biggest surprise, senior receiver Timmeray DK leaves the Waukesha native with a pretty much a four-year starter. I know he didn't start right away as a freshman, but pretty quickly after some injuries, got on the field as a starter. Like I said, four-year starter, team captain this season. I didn't see this one coming. I wasn't going to be surprised if he moved on to try his hand at the pros, because I think he'll be decent enough as a physical tester. When he does the running stuff and all that, when that time comes. But he's going to be looking for a new college home. And I don't know, to me, it was a surprise just because this is a guy that's talked so many times about how much he loves the Badgers, growing up a Badger fan, all that stuff. Let's start there before we get into more of like what it means. But like, just what was your reaction when you saw in the morning yesterday, on Monday morning, that Chim was taken off?
I mean, that was a, yeah, it was a Jesse Temple that first tweeted that, our colleague that works over at the Athletic, and then we saw the graphic go up by Chim minutes later, and it's a surprise. Definitely. This is a, you mentioned a team captain, one of the leaders of the team. I remember going to Squat Fest in July and him being among a group of guys that included, I don't know if the squat rack, if the squat rack meant anything, but I mean, he was lifting with Tanner Bordellini, Jack Nelson, Braylon Allen, and kind of those guys that were like the holdovers, but guys that were the main contributors. And, you know, he's obviously lifting and, but a guy that in-state kid came to Wisconsin. And just the what he meant to the program. And, you know, he got thrown in early during his time at Wisconsin. 2020, that COVID year with Kendrick Pryor and Danny Davis injured, he was thrust into a starting role. And he emerged, you know, especially, you know, 2 years later, he emerged for 2022, was leading receiver. But you didn't see the receptions last year when, or this past season, regular season, with what's happened with the air raid offense. And I think that's one thing that's, I mean, it's surprising, but it's also, you can understand maybe he didn't want to, I mean, this is just speculating, but you go from 47 receptions down to 19 in 1 year, even though he increased his yards per reception, you know, it didn't do, I don't know if it did much for his NFL stock. You know, this was supposed to be a pass-happy offense. And let me just preface that, air raid, obviously a lot more passing, and there has been more passing, but There's also still that power running game that Wisconsin has that was used with Ches Malusi before he was injured and Braylon Allen when he was healthy. But you're also, you've seen
him in the past. I mean, it was a more passing centric offense, no doubt.
Right. But Will, I mean, it's gone to Will, but you've seen the slot receivers go, right? It's the slot receivers that get a lot of the receptions in Phil Longo's offense.
Yeah. And I think that's probably the biggest question of maybe why, if you're trying to answer the question of why Chip DK left, I think. You look at his sophomore and junior seasons, really emerged as a really good slot receiver. You know, maybe he doesn't fit that prototypical slot receiver build in terms of his height and weight, but just in terms of knowing how to get open, creating separation from that slot position. I mean, think back to that 2022 season. If it was third in anything, you knew that they were putting DK in the slot, probably running a corner or an out or something like that, trusting DK to go get the ball. Even when the other team knew what was happening, that was where Graham Mertz was going with the ball. And you go back and look at those stats, and he was one of the best receivers on third down in the country in 2022. And then he gets moved back to the outside here in this air raid offense. And I think that situation just didn't fit, I think, his skill set. And then a lot of what typically happens when you're running an air raid is you want your outside guys to draw safeties, to draw the attention, and then force guys to cover deep. And then that opens things up over the middle for your slots and your tight ends and your running backs and the like. And I think that for a guy like Chim Dike, who has proven that he's more than that, than just a guy that's just going to run down the field and occupy a safety in a corner or something like that, it had to be frustrating. I mean, typical Dike, just because that's his personality, he was a good soldier. When he wasn't getting many passes thrown his way as a freshman, when he, you know, would have inconsistent targets as a sophomore, he was pretty much the same mannerisms as a junior when he was the clearly number one guy. And then, you know, never gave a hint of any true frustration this season when, you know, he wasn't as big of a part of the offense. But I'm just saying he's a guy that could be that is next school wherever he ends up. And I think, if I'm him, I'm probably pitching myself more as a slot receiver and maybe you're a solution for somebody there than trying to say that I'm an outside guy, just because I think that fits his skill set the best.
Right. And that's going to be, it will be interesting just to see where he visits and just which offenses. I mean, it's going to be something to watch going into next year, obviously. And I think he's got the tools. And so it's interesting too, because I remember it goes back. I had this conversation earlier today with somebody talking about Chim Ray, and I said, you know, Brady Collins had told reporters on the record, and I trust Brady with this, who he's the strength and conditioning director for Wisconsin. He had said after Squat Fest that in July, Chim Ray DK at about 200 pounds ran a 4.440. And you saw some of that breakaway speed, most notably against Northwestern last year when he had that long touchdown reception from Graham Mertz in the first game of Jim Leonard. You saw that, but I don't think he put on weight underneath this new strength and conditioning staff, but he also got faster. So I think he's got the physical abilities to be an impact player at the FBS Power 5 level. It's just going to be interesting to watch just which offense he'll go to and which suitors will pop up for him going forward.
Yeah, and if you want to talk about one of your kind of slam dunk transfers that a coach could go after, great culture guy, a former team captain from where he was, graduate transfer, so you're not going to have to worry about grades or anything or any eligibility issue there. Guy's already got his degree in hand. And, you know, just like I said before, it's a good soldier, never going to say the wrong thing or be a distraction in any way. So I don't think he'll be on the market too long. I think once he gets his visits done, I'm maybe he's got to finish up the semester here, or, you know, whatever he needs to do to finish out. But I wouldn't imagine that he's waiting too long to figure out his next spot. Another receiver that left this group that was a little bit of a surprise, maybe the less surprising just because of his slot on the depth chart and everything like that, was Skylar Bell. And, you know, you look back at his career, he comes in to help out an injury depleted receiver room, makes a really memorable catch in that Las Vegas Bowl to help Wisconsin beat Arizona State. 15-yard catch, but a diving effort that kind of showed his abilities. Then he comes in, scores 5 touchdowns last season, 30 catches, but, you know, impact catches was, you know, let's see, 15 yards per catch, and then added some running element as well. So you get into this year, they take him from the outside and move him to the slot. So it's kind of the reverse of what Chip Dike went through. And he was a little bit more vocal about the displeasure there. I don't think he was pretty clear in the spring he didn't like that move. I think he quickly figured out, like, oh, okay, wait a minute, I'm going to be, you know, a frequent target if I'm in the slot. Like, that's I'm the guy that's usually the first read on some of these things. I think he liked it a little bit more. But then, obviously, he goes through this year, the emergence of Will Pauling. A little bit tougher for him to get on the field when Pauling was playing so well. Back half of the season, when there were some injuries to DK and to Bryson Green, he gets on the field more. And you mentioned it in our open. Guy had some troubles with drops this season, some crucial ones that are really memorable. You know, Ohio State, Washington State, I believe. There's the drop on the first, I think it was the first drive of the game against Buffalo to start the year. Would have had a, you know, 75-yard touchdown or something like that.
Right. Yeah, so, two plays later, Tanner Mordecai throws an interception, right, which, yeah. And I had a conversation, same conversation with somebody earlier this morning too, where you talk about the reasons why Skylar Bell, you know, may have left and, you know, but, and whatnot, but it's also what we were talking about is just how perception, one play could, it's only one play, but it could change the perception of so many things, where if he catches that ball, maybe there's confidence for him.
Yeah,
down the
road. Yeah, change your confidence, right.
Right. It also shows that the Wisconsin offense is willing to take chances down the field, and that changes a little bit of the narrative. There are still some things that needed to be worked out with receivers getting separation, and on top of that, just trying to stretch the defense more vertically throughout the season. But that it's a better start than what it turned out to be. But the thing, too, Colt, man, even with splitting in the slot with Pauling, he still had 38 receptions. Yeah, he averaged under 8 yards per catch. But that's what you're going to get as a slot receiver within this type of offense that acts as like a pseudo run game in terms of getting short passes and letting your athletes work in space. But he still had 38 receptions and whatnot, second on the team in that regard. And so, I mean, the slot receivers all together heading into this bowl game with Pauling and Bell are 104 catches. So that shows just how much the, you know, the offense depended upon them this year.
Yeah, so you mentioned the bowl game. Let's look at forward here, and then we'll move over to the Leon Lowry situation. And I'm not to laugh a lot when we talk about that. but when you look at the Badgers with receiver room going into this bowl game, you know, you've got Bryson Green. That's your only remaining, and then you got Will Pauling. Those are your remaining starters from the regular season here. That outside role that is vacated by Chip Dike. Does it go to C.J. Williams? Quincy Burroughs was getting some reps later on last month of the season or so. I think that's going to be an interesting battle as December plays out and they get these practices before the bowl game. And then when you talk about Bell's position, I think it's pretty clear Vinny Anthony would be the next one in line there at the slot receiver just because of reps. But maybe a guy like Tretch Kekahuna, the true freshman, maybe he gets some reps here in bowl prep and it can flash and maybe get his way onto the field. In the bowl game, it wouldn't mess up his red shirt, obviously, because he didn't play much outside of special teams. I think he's only got 3 games in total there. So
he's got 4, according to he's got 4 games. So if
he's got 4, okay,
he would. Yeah, if Tretch plays in one more game, he would burn his red shirt, which would be, I think, there's Ashcraft, Bertrams, DeClona, Allegro. It would be a handful of true freshmen at the very least that have worked in and would have their redshirt burned within their first year in the program.
All right, so that probably actually nixes what I said. I wouldn't imagine they want to burn his redshirt on a bowl game like this.
Well, you never know.
But so, I don't know. I have a story up on badgerextra.com and madison.com right now you can check out about the future of or how they're going to replace these guys. And it's more about next season as opposed to the bowl game. But I think it's pretty clear they're going to have to be active in the transfer portal to get it done. They've got multiple scholarships. They want to keep between 11 and 12 scholarship receivers. That's a Phil Longo quote from back in last winter. That's where they want to be each season. Right now, with Kekahuna involved there, and then obviously Kyan Berry Johnson, their recruit in the 24 class. With those guys, they're at 9 going in the 24 season. So you got to imagine that they're going to grab some portal guys here. Maybe if they've got a high school commit that they can feel like they can flip that they're really high on, maybe something like that. But I just think that's another that position I already thought more on the back half of the roster was going to have to be flipped over with the transfer portal. But now it looks like it's going to have to be some frontline guys as well.
Right. And here's a little tip for those that, again, if you're looking, I mean, there have been offers. You called out the offers in that article. So I'm not, I won't rehash that. Just go to BadgerExtra.com, read Colton's article. It's good stuff as always. But another tidbit, if you know who's on staff for Wisconsin, if you're on social media, take a look at who they're following. I think that's a good little hint to see, like, who they... I'm not saying that it's a slam dunk. This NIL world, and we're going to talk about that in a few minutes. It's a different world out there, so we don't know exactly what's happening in terms of conversations, but if you see who's following who, that's a good first step to see possibly what could be interested. It's not the end-all. It's not a fail-safe. It's not end-all, be-all, but it'll be interesting to see just who Wisconsin will target in the transfer portal as the early signing period continues going forward.
Sure. All right, let's jump over to a situation that the Badgers are trying to address in the portal, the outside linebacker position that didn't quite work out, as we mentioned. Leon Lowry, the transfer out of Syracuse, was committed to the Badgers for less than a day. And, we'll start with what we have been told. So Jake and I tag-teamed the story. You can check it on BadgerExtra.com. According to his agent, who he directed all questions about his recruitment, Lowry did, this agent claims that once he got back from his visit at Wisconsin, he told his mother that he had committed. The mother said, "I think you rushed your decision. You had all these other options, and you need to do your due diligence and check those things out." And then this agent also claims that the door was still open to go to Wisconsin after checking out some of those options, but then fan reactions to the decommitment from Lowry probably soured that. That's just, chum in the water for people. That people did not like that comment. They did not like this man. It became like a 24-hour, dig into this guy's life and try to tear it down on Twitter last night. But this whole situation is just a great kind of microcosm of the good and the bad of the transfer portal, because I think it's a good thing for college football that a guy like Leon Lowry, who had some success at Syracuse, wants to go and find success elsewhere and maybe challenge himself at a different level. I like all that aspect, but then I just think that it's an example of how just silly all this stuff is, where you have, it's a same type of recruiting pressure that some coaches put on kids as a high schooler, but then in this tiny frame of window, it's like, oh, hey, we've got one scholarship maybe that we're going to use in this area. You better commit to it now. Or they just want to snatch it up because they want that process to be done. And then there's all this extra stuff with the NIL. It's like you got coaches talking about how much each position costs in their press conferences and how much each position can get where. And it's just this whole thing is when people are like, oh, the portal and all this stuff is ruining college football. I don't agree with that, but I do understand why it's frustrating as fans, because it's just like, they're used to it with pro sports, the money and all this other stuff being the biggest factors of what is decided by players and teams and such. I think they like that college football is different, and I think the fact that it's not as different anymore is affecting people's enjoyment to a degree that it's continuing to build. It's getting worse, I would say, in the last year or so. I don't see the solution. I don't see the on-ramp coming or off-ramp coming here.
Yeah, I mean, once the transfer portal is opened, it's Pandora's box. And having a conversation with a fan yesterday, and I mean, I feel it's more insane than it was last year. And maybe it's just because I'm diving more into it. I mean, obviously, I cover a lot of the recruiting stuff for Badger Extra, you and I both, but it's also, but this transfer portal, you and I tag team on, and it just, the amount of quarterbacks, high profile quarterbacks that have Power 5 starting experience that could drastically alter a roster and compete. where he can go into a team and instantly change the dynamics, which obviously the quarterback position is one of it, you know, is the top position there. To me, it's more insane than it was last year. But thing is, though, I think you and I are both very much pro player in the fact that, hey, coaches can move, man. There's a buyout, but they're not necessarily buying it. You know what I mean?
The next school is paying it. It's not like the coach pays it.
Right. And so you're like, and for that matter, too, NIL, I mean, the NCAA fought that for so long, right? They fought that they shouldn't be paid. Oh, what about the,
amateurism.
Thank you. Give me a break. And this has been happening underneath, look at Stephen Godfrey's Bagman story from SB Nation, about a decade ago, talking about it. Stuff was happy, but now it's legal. And that's where I get, the thing is, it's a whole new animal too, though, where the way things are transpiring and how quick, to me, it's a whole new animal just because it's like, I think it's more public. Maybe that's why, is because it's a lot more public than what it was before. And I think that's where, to me, people are seeing firsthand, like, college football, and this is just, maybe I'm riffing here, college football wasn't amateurism. It just was hidden from plain sight about what, and obviously people can, players are getting paid more now.
Sure.
But it's always been there. It's always been, and now it's just more public and it's more wide open. And you're going to see stuff like that. You're going to see what we've heard or what's been reported, like Matt Rhule talking about the million plus for a quarterback in the transfer portal, etc. I mean, it's out in the open now. And now you're seeing like Ross Dillinger reporting, I think he's one of the first ones to report about the NCAA president talking about trying to create a subdivision within FBS, having where the universities pay players. Like there's a trust fund.
They throw money into a trust while you're there. And it's basically, hey, we know this split is coming eventually with the highest power teams. Let's try to, make a split without a split. And it's like the train's too far down the tracks, in my opinion. I appreciate the guy trying and having at least an open mind to the schools paying the players themselves. But I think that the split train is so far down the tracks that it's not getting stopped.
Exactly.
But the thing to me that kills me is I get fan reaction. Like it's fan short for fanatic. Be crazy about your teams. That's why we have jobs, right? That's why sports is consistently one of the biggest drivers of traffic to all of these websites. That's why all these things exist. Sports fans care about their teams. They want them to succeed, all that. The thing that I just get annoyed by is when people like a kid committed 18 hours ago and then you jump down his throat for leaving. Like there was any emotional connection on either side yet. Yes, you were excited about the potential of the athlete to help your team win games. But it's just like, calm down. And even if it was that somebody said, oh, I can get you more money, I know that's what a lot of people believe. That's not what this agent claims was the situation. Doesn't really matter. Even if it was, I would do the same thing. If somebody offered me more money to do the same job, I would be like, oh, you know what? I said yes already, but actually I'm going to go do something else for more money. Like, so everybody would do that. If you just put it in a vacuum, everybody would do that. Same job for more money. People do it every day. So let's just calm down here.
Right. And it's definitely, I just feel it's gotten more insane. I think it's going to continue to be that. I don't know what the solution, you talk about, there's no way you put Pandora's box back. You can't close it. So what's going to happen next? I mean, like I said, there's been floating about that subdivision. It's going to come to a point where, I think this is my two cents. This is just my opinion. It's going to come to a point where you're going to have to pay the players as employees. It's just that easy. You want to curb. There's always going to be, this is my opinion. There's always going to be programs, schools that are going to try to not just bend the rules, but this is a way. And if they would have done this much earlier, address this NIL, other stuff, they could have, the NCAA, among other power players within this industry, could have changed. They could have been more proactive. Everything's reactionary now.
NIL came about as a reaction to state laws that were about to kick in. That's right. You got to go back to the 2021 summer. they didn't do it because they finally woke up to the idea that it was the right thing to do. They were just coming to a situation where it was going to be uneven playing field state to state, and they couldn't have that and have the system work. So they just allowed an NIL on a whim and didn't really – the guardrails they put up were so open that everyone starts going out them and it's like, oh, well, that's wrong. Well, why? It's not – we don't have real rules, and nobody's enforcing them anyway. So
right. Absolutely. So that's where I'm at, where it's just – everything's been reactionary. There's no proactiveness. I know this first proposal from the NCAA, you know what? It's a start, but it wasn't. There's going to have to be more done. There's going to have to be a consensus, and you know they're going to have to address a lot. And I mean, there's so much. This could be a podcast series. We're not going to get into it because we don't have time. And you and I both have work to do, and we have families that we need to talk to during this time of year, and among other things. But it's just, there's a lot that needs to be, I mean, there needs to be some serious discussions of what's happening next. But it looks like, I mean, it would be all be taken care of if they, you know, not all be taken care of, but a good step forward would be make them employees and figure out the situations from there. And that'll... I mean, again, there's still always going to be issues that are going to arise,
mm-hmm.
but this is the step that would help solidify it. And we're all talking about what could happen going forward. I mean, and obviously the biggest thing though, too, football is the main driver. So do you also separate just football from everything else? You should, right? Because it's
not going to work that way. I mean, that's kind of the big picture discussion, but I'll tell you what, Jake, I'm going to try to avoid talking to NIL agents for a while, just because it wasn't, I would say, the most, the guy was nice enough. I didn't believe much of what he was saying, but he was fine. I enjoyed the fact that the reaction to our story was basically like, this guy's a clown, I like that we got our side out, or that guy, the kid's side out, but the reaction made me laugh, and it's going to be one of those things where you look back, it's like, well, that was wild. And maybe it's not going to be the last time. Maybe this is going to be a recurring thing where we're talking to agents for NPR recruits going forward. But God, who knows?
Well, here's the other thing. I'm going to forewarn fans on this too, right? So let's say early signing period, right? High school recruits, they sign their national letters of intent. That happens on December 20th. That starts December 20th. So I'm sure you're going to see, I mean, that's become the de facto early signing period, or early signing day, because a lot of teams get it out of the way. And then whoever's left over after decommitments or coaching changes, that's the first Wednesday in February of 2024. But with high schoolers, that they sign a national letters of intent. They, unless they request their NLI to be, you know, to basically be dismissed or to be whatever you want to call it, like they're locked in for transfers. Remember, Darian Varner was what? It was at Virginia Tech, if I'm not mistaken. He was at Temple. They announced him, and then he wound up at Wisconsin. So I think even with this within the transfer portal, like, just even though they may be committed to, I mean, that's one thing just for fans to watch out for, is just until you get to campus, until you see them on campus or they're doing workouts, just keep an eye out, because like we've seen things change within transfers, and it's going to be something to, I mean, this is the way it is now. And just as us as reporters, as you as fans, it's going to be stuff to just keep tabs on going forward.
Absolutely. All right. So check out BadgerExtra.com. Make sure you get subscribed there. Like I said, you can check out the Leon Lowry story. You can check out the story on transfer receivers and kind of how Wisconsin might replace them. We'll be continuing on transfer watch in and out for the Wisconsin program. So we'll keep you up to date as quick as we can as that news breaks and everything like that on BadgerExtra.com. So check it out there. Jake, anything else on the horizon that we can tease? Or
let's tease it. Working on a special project, putting hopefully some finishing touches on it in terms of the next week or so. A key component is being recorded tomorrow, which is Wednesday. I will say that, again, it is an anniversary based series. It will be video. Put eight to 10 months into this. We all have, but it will be fun. I have no stake in any team, but this is a team that helped me grow my love for college football. So, you know, there's a little bit of a passion there to tell the story right. Look in the next week for a teaser trailer, and then hopefully by the end of the month, for sure, we'll have it out.
All right, perfect. Get at BadgerExtra.com. Get subscribed. Thanks so much for listening. We'll be back next week.
See ya.